That's what you said about coming here. Sabrina was close to tears. This was not the time to continue a conversation about the church or life at the beach. Come on, I'll buy you lunch at the seafood shack, and then we'll go shopping. Okay. It was said grudgingly, but Jenna wisely decided to ignore that. The seafood shack was doing a brisk business, with young families and a smattering of seniors ordering fish and chips and fried clams and all manner of shakes. A couple in shorts and t-shirts lounged at one of the tables outside, digging into baskets of popcorn shrimp. The place smelled of fish and grease. They ordered fish and chips and chocolate shakes and went outside to sit in the sun. The day was balmy with only a light breeze, and the food was greasy. Sabrina licked up every little bit. Okay, what next? She asked, sounding almost enthusiastic. How about checking out something fishy? We'll take your picture standing in the giant shark's mouth, and you can send it to Daddy and the grandmas. How's that sound? It sounded good, and after the requisite photo op and buying t-shirts that said Moonstruck at Moonlight Harbor, they moved on to Cindy's Candies, a little shop with giant suckers painted on the window, where they stocked up on saltwater taffy, licorice, and jawbreakers. Sabrina's smile was getting bigger. And Jenna's wallet was shrinking. She told herself this was an investment in the future. If her daughter had fun and fell in love with the town, life would be so much easier. After that, they hit Sunken Treasures consignments, where Jenna found a new top and Sabrina fell in love with a ceramic kitten. Then it was on to the cabana shops, where Sabrina got bored looking at home decor, scented candles and gift items in the beachcomber. Hey, look at this, Jenna said, picking up a cloth-bound journal decorated with a starfish. Sabrina shrugged, but reached for it. You can write all your great thoughts and poems in here, Jenna said. The only class Sabrina had enjoyed the past few months had been her English class, and she loved to write. Sabrina looked it over with a frown. I guess, she said, and let Jenna buy it for her. She went from frowning to sneering when they entered Beach Babes. They're all old lady clothes, she complained. Jenna had to admit most of the clothes weren't exactly trendy. Even the sweatshirts were nothing a 14-year-old would want to be caught wearing. And the saleswoman there, a striking 30-something who obviously wasn't wearing anything off the store racks, looked almost apologetic as they left. But the kite store was a winner, and they came out with a single-line kite decorated with a red octopus. Goodbye, another $30. But now Sabrina was smiling again and squeezing Jenna's arm and thanking her. Ah, yes, her daughter's moods matched the weather. Stick around a few minutes, and it was bound to change. Speaking of changing, the wind was picking up, and Jenna could see gray clouds gathering out over the water. Can we fly the kite when we get back? Sabrina asked. We can try, Jenna said, and hoped the rain held off. They did a quick drive around town, Jenna pointing out the little bowling alley, the park and tennis courts and community pool hidden away on a side street. At least there'd be a pool somewhere for Sabrina to enjoy. Beans and Books, a combination coffee shop and bookstore, she knew would appeal to her daughter. You can ride your bike there, get a smoothie, write in your journal. As Sabrina nodded agreement, Jenna had a quick vision of dollar signs flying away. Hopping into the coffee shop for a treat on a regular basis could get expensive. Or you can hang out at the beach, she added. They ended their tour of the town's possible teen temptations, checking out the arcade where there were kids Sabrina's age. All of them were with friends, though, and too engrossed in what they were doing to pay any attention to a new kid in town, even if she was cute. They didn't stay long. By the time they came out, it was raining. Once they reached the motel, it was pouring. I'm not flying a kite in this, Sabrina said in disgust. What else can we do? Well, I actually have to check out the motel with Aunt Edie. You could read or watch something on TV. I guess, Sabrina said in a bored voice, then added, There's no one to hang out with here. There will be, Jenna assured her. Please let that be true. Aunt Edie was ready for them with cookies and the promise of hot chocolate. "Did you girls have fun?" she asked. Sabrina was now wet and her hair was dripping, and she wasn't in quite such a happy mood. Jenna hurried to speak for her. "Oh, yes, and we have the stuff to prove it." She held up the something fishy bag that held her new t-shirt. "Isn't that store fun?" Aunt Edie gushed.
"Fun, fun," echoed Roger, who was perched on her shoulder.
"They have baby sharks in a jar," Sabrina said in disgust.
"Boys like 'em," said Aunt Edie.
She pointed to Sabrina's bag. "What did you get?"
"A t-shirt," Sabrina said, her voice lackluster.
"We have matching Moonlight Harbor t-shirts," said Jenna.
"Well, now you're truly one of us," Aunt Edie said with a smile. "What else did you girls find?"
"What didn't we?" Jenna said heartily, hoping to remind her daughter of the fun parts of the day.
"We got candy from Cindy's."
"Saltwater taffy?" Aunt Edie guessed. "That's a must when you come to the beach."
"Sabrina's never had it," said Jenna.
"Oh, you'll love it."
Sabrina nodded politely.
"And we got a journal for Sabrina to write in," Jenna continued, "and a kite."
"Which we can't fly because it's raining," Sabrina grumped.
"Don't worry," Aunt Edie told her. "The weatherman's predicting nice weather for tomorrow."
The weatherman, echoed Roger. "The weatherman's an idiot."
That made Jenna smile. She knew who'd taught Roger that. Uncle Ralph.
"Now, that's enough out of you," Aunt Edie said, and put the bird back in his cage.
Sabrina wasn't amused.
"I'm going to my room," she announced, and disappeared up the stairs.
"I need hot chocolate," Jenna said, and went to the kitchen.
"It's a shame the weather's not cooperating," Aunt Edie said, as she poured out a mug of her homemade hot chocolate for Jenna.
Even if the weather had cooperated, Jenna doubted her daughter would. She reminded herself that Sabrina had been slammed with a lot of change, none of which she'd asked for.
"Thank you, Damien, for making our lives miserable."
Except she'd chosen him, so who was really to blame?
"Sometimes I wish I could restart my life as a grown-up," she said with a sigh.
"What part would you do differently?" asked her aunt.
"I'd choose someone other than my lame-o ex."
"Ah, but then you wouldn't have your sweet daughter."
True, and difficult as Sabrina was being at the moment, Jenna loved her with all her wounded heart.
"She is sweet, really." "Of course she is. She's just unhappy. That's allowed."
Jenna smiled at her aunt.
"Thanks for being so understanding."
"Believe it or not, I was young once, too. I remember being unhappy with the grown-ups in my life. Then I grew up and realized it wasn't all that easy being an adult, either."
"You can say that again," Jenna said, and took a comforting sip of her hot chocolate.
"Things will work out. You'll see. Everyone loves the beach."
"I know Sabrina would, if only we were still a family."
"You are still a family," Aunt Edie reminded her. "Don't ever forget that."
Of course they were, just like she and her mom and sister had been a family.
"You're right."
Aunt Edie smiled.
"I'm always right. That's what Ralph used to say."
The wind had picked up and the rain was beating on the kitchen window. Jenna felt like going to her room, too, and crawling under the covers. She took another fortifying drink of her cocoa, then said, "Well, let's go see what needs to be done at the Driftwood Inn." They donned rain slickers and made the short walk from the house to the motel. Amazing how nippy the wind could be at the beach in June.
"It's going to be beautiful tomorrow," Aunt Edie predicted.
"I always liked it at the beach when it was stormy," Jenna said.
No lie. She'd had a friend who lived at the far end of town where the jetty was and had loved sitting warm and cozy inside the house and watching the waves crash into the rocks, sending a 20-foot spray racing the length of them. She'd also enjoyed having what Aunt Edie called an at-home day, playing games at the kitchen table with her mom and sister and Aunt Edie and Uncle Ralph, or burrowing under a blanket on the couch, reading a Nancy Drew mystery.
As she got older, Carolyn Keene, who she'd been shocked to finally learn wasn't a woman, but an entire team of hirelings, gave way to Debbie Maycumber and Nora Roberts. Oh, how she'd believed in happy endings back then. Did she still? She wasn't so sure when they walked into the first room. It smelled musty and looked terrible. The bedspreads were ratty and tufted, the carpets worn and stained. And speaking of stains, one of the walls looked like it had some water damage. How many other walls and how many other rooms had similar stains?
"We've had a few leaks," Aunt Edie confessed when Jenna pointed it out.
Great, a leaking roof. She wasn't surprised, though, considering what it looked like. The other rooms were in just as bad a state as the first. Even the vinyl in the bathrooms would have to be replaced. Oh, boy. Fixing the motel was going to cost a fortune.
"Well," Jenna said as they walked back to the house, "we're not going to get any customers with the place looking this way. We'll have to repaint, replace the carpet and the bedspreads, as well as fix the broken window. We'll need to get the pool up and running."
That had been scary. Half drained with a crack on the bottom. It looked like an oversized petri dish growing heaven knew what. She had no idea what all that would cost, and she wasn't sure she wanted to.
"It's not going to be cheap."
"I did figure we'd have to get new bedspreads and carpet," Aunt Edie admitted.
"And we should replace the flooring in the bathrooms. We've got water damage on the walls, which means we're going to have the roof checked out. That's all going to cost money," she added.
How much did it cost to replace the roof on a 20-room motel? More than they had, for sure.
Aunt Edie gnawed on her lower lip.
"We do have a challenge."
There was an understatement of tsunami proportions. They were in deep doo-doo.
"I guess we'll have to get some estimates and figure out where to go from there," Jenna said.
And that was about as positive a spin as she could put on things. Aunt Edie wasn't exactly looking positive. In fact, she looked close to tears.
"The good news is, now that Sabrina and I are here, we can contribute a lot of sweat equity. I'm sure I can find a bargain on carpet somewhere."
That coaxed a smile out of her aunt. But no one was smiling at dinner when she talked up the joys of manual labor.
"We're going to work all summer?"
Sabrina asked, horrified.
"Well, not 24 hours a day," Jenna said.
"I've got a bad back, you know," Pete informed her,
and helped himself to a second hamburger.
"Look, everyone, we all need to pitch in if we're going to make this place ready to turn a profit."
No one was saying, rah-rah, yet. So she continued.
"We can make the Driftwood Inn really cute again. Just picture it with a fresh coat of blue paint, some netting on one corner with a couple of buoys, some driftwood outside the office. Sabrina, you've got a good artistic eye. You could find just the right piece of driftwood to put there."
Flattery didn't work. Sabrina scowled at her hamburger. She did help clean up after dinner without grumbling, though. That was something. But after that, just as Aunt Edie was proposing a game of cards, she asked Jenna,
"Mom, can I talk to you?"
and tugged on Jenna's sweater sleeve.
Oh, boy.
Jenna wished she could say, "No, you can't." But she followed her daughter out into the living room.
"Okay,"
she said once they were out of earshot. "What's wrong?"
"I don't want to be here."
Hot newsflash.
"Sabrina, we've only been here a couple of days."
"I hate it. I miss Daddy."
"You've been texting him, right?" Sabrina scowled.
"He sucks at texting."
In other words, he was ignoring her.
"I want to go home. I want to live with Daddy for the summer."
This again. They were caught in some kind of time loop, doomed to have the same conversation over and over and over.
"You know that's not how things have been set up.
And you can thank your shithead dad and his new woman for that.
You're just going to have to try and be happy here. Look for the rainbow in the storm."
"That's such a stupid saying," Sabrina spat.
"But it's true.
There's always something good you can focus on, something to be happy about, Jenna said, as much to herself as her daughter, and reached to pull Sabrina into a hug. She jerked away.
Not here. There's nothing good, and I'm not happy, and you don't care.
Of course I care. Good grief, Sabrina. Do you think I get up every morning thinking of ways to make your life miserable? I'm doing the best I can, and I'd appreciate it if you'd make some small effort to be happy.
I would be if you'd let me go live with Daddy, but you won't, and I hate you.
Having sliced her mother's heart in two, Sabrina ran from the room and up the stairs. Jenna shook off the shock and marched to the bottom of the stairs and hollered up,
"Well, I love you!"
No response other than a slamming bedroom door. "Even though right now you're not very lovable," she muttered. She sat down on the bottom stair and bit back the good cry she wanted to indulge in, wiped away the stinging tears. Darn it all. Why didn't anyone ever tell you how hard it was being a parent? Simple answer there. No one would sign up for the job, and the whole race would die out. She had to force herself to go back into the kitchen, where Aunt Edie was scrubbing down the counter. Again.
"Is everything all right?"
she asked, not turning to look at Jenna. "Yes, everything's fine," Jenna lied. Aunt Edie turned to face her.
"I really meant this to be a blessing for you," she said in a small voice.
And no good deed ever went unpunished. Her poor aunt. Poor her. Poor all of them. She hurried over and gave the old woman a hug.
"It is a blessing.
A very well disguised one. And everything's going to work out."
Who was she kidding?
"At least we have one reservation," Aunt Edie said. "He's arriving this week. That will get some money coming in."
Until he saw his room. Hopefully, he was blind.
"Come on, let's forget our trouble and play cards," Aunt Edie said.
Her daughter didn't want to do anything with her, so Jenna settled at the kitchen table with her aunt for a game of hands and buns, Aunt Edie's all-time favorite. Once upon a time, Jenna used to love to play cards, but at the moment, it was hard to focus on the game when she felt like she'd landed in a sick version of a fairy tale. Cinderella arrives at the prince's castle only to discover she's gotten stuck with a ruin, and she's still expected to do the cleaning. Jenna's aunt was expecting her to somehow turn into a superhero and save the day, and her daughter thought she was a super loser and hated her. Who cared how many red canastas she got? Never mind canastas. She needed money. By the time she finally went to join the dolls in her bedroom, she was mentally exhausted and discouraged. She shed her clothes and slipped into her sleep tee, then went to the window. The wind had blown away the clouds, and it was a clear night. You could see a million stars in the sky, and a half moon was shining over the water. She opened her window, and the smell of clean air and kelp drifted in. She let the soft sounds of waves rolling onto the beach slip in to soothe her. It was beautiful down here. Perfect. Timeless. She'd always loved the beach. She still did. She leaned against the window and thought about something Damien once said to her when they were first together.
"I'm your ticket to greatness."
He'd said it jokingly, but he'd meant it. Without him, he was sure Jenna and her little massage business and what he called her cute little crafts would never make much of a contribution to the world. Okay, so maybe rehabbing a motel wouldn't make her famous, but it would make her and everyone who came to stay there happy. This was where she belonged. This was home. Chapter 6. To do. Go through the Driftwoods books and assess financial situation. Organize office. Try to find the bright side so I can look on it. Monday morning dawned sunny and perfect. The sky was blue and the water was sparkling, and Jenna could hear the gulls playing. Ah, life was good at the beach. She showered and dressed and read a little of Muriel Sterling's book on starting over for inspiration, then went to check on her daughter. Sabrina was awake, sitting on her bed in her PJs and drawing in her sketchbook. She seemed to have set aside her hatred of the day before and was ready to fly her kite until Jenna reminded her that they needed wind.
"There's wind," Sabrina said, pointing out her bedroom window to where the grass on the dunes was barely moving.
"That won't take your kite very far." Sabrina's mouth pinched tightly in irritation.
"Don't worry, we'll get some good kite-flying weather," Jenna assured her.
"Yeah, when I'm 300 years old," Sabrina grumbled.
"What are we going to do today?"
"Well, one of we has to go over to the motel and do some paperwork. But don't worry, we'll do something later," Jenna hurried on before her daughter could protest.
"The wind usually picks up in the afternoon, so while you're waiting for me to finish, maybe you can clean the upstairs bathroom for Aunt Edie."
Knowing her daughter, that would take her at least an hour.
"I guess," Sabrina said with a sigh and a shrug.
At least there'd been no more talk of going home to Daddy. Jenna took that as a good sign. She was smiling when she went down to the kitchen to grab a cup of coffee. Aunt Edie had beaten her there and was pulling a coffee cake out of the oven.
Ah, the aroma.
"Eat, eat, eat," cried Jenna's taste buds.
"Give us a break," begged her hips.
"You're just in time," Aunt Edie told her. "I've made blackberry coffee cake, your favorite."
"Everything you make is my favorite," Jenna said. "But just a cup of coffee for now. I want to get over to the office and start sorting through things." Aunt Edie didn't look all that thrilled to have things sorted through. Jenna might as well have said, "I'm going to take you to the dentist and the gynecologist today, and when we're done, I'll run over your foot with my car."
"We need to know where we stand," she reminded her aunt gently.
"I know," said Aunt Edie. "But remember, I have that money in savings."
"No worries," Jenna lied. She grabbed a mug of coffee, then took her laptop over to the motel office to work. A calico cat sat outside the office, licking a paw. It stopped at the sight of Jenna and regarded her curiously. It had no collar, but it looked well-fed. Hardly surprising, considering that the seafood shack was right next door.
"Hey there, kitty," she said,
and bent to pet it. The cat pushed its head against her hand and mewed, then slid along her leg. "Wouldn't my daughter love you? But I don't think Roger would."
"Okay, Jenna, you're stalling."
She gave the animal a final pat and went inside. Her first order of business was to try and sort through the piles of paperwork that lay on her aunt's desk. Aunt Edie may have had an iPod, an iPad, and smart TV, but her record-keeping methods were stuck in the dark ages, with receipt pads from decades ago and records kept in notebooks and folders in an ancient metal filing cabinet. A phone as old as Jenna sat on the office desk, along with an answering machine that belonged in an antique shop. Jenna found loan paper stuffed in the desk drawer and, after looking at the figures made her bilious, she shoved them back in and shut the drawer. Catalogs for everything from linens to home decor cluttered the desk, and Jenna set those aside and opened the reservation book. It was sparsely populated. Actually, it hadn't been populated since the previous August. Hardly surprising considering the state of the place. She turned on her computer and checked the online reviews. They didn't exactly lure people in.
"What a dump. I thought I was staying at the Bates Motel."
"After one look at our room, we decided not to stay. The crazy old woman running the place offered us a discount. She should have offered to pay us to stay."
"I wouldn't put up my dog there, let alone a person."
With such glowing recommendations, it was a wonder they even had one guest lined up for summer. Seth Waters. Was he clueless? Desperate? Broke? Aunt Edie had dutifully written down his contact information in her reservation book, and Jenna decided to call him. A deep voice that made Jenna think of Vikings or pirates answered on the second ring. She cleared her throat.
"Is this Seth Waters?"
"Yes,"
the voice answered suspiciously.
"Oh."
Duh, of course it was.
"Hi, I'm Jenna Jones, and I'm calling from the Driftwood Inn."
"Is there a problem?" asked the voice.
"No, not at all. I'm just calling to confirm your reservation."
"I'll be there," said voice, making Jenna's nerve endings thrum.
I felt I should tell you that we're undergoing some renovations here. That was putting it mildly. Jenna's right eye began to twitch.
That won't bother me.
Your room is a little subpar, pathetic, disgusting. That is, well, it needs some work.
That's not a problem. I'm not particular, and the price is right.
Okay, good news. The nervous tick settled down.
I told whoever I talked to earlier that I don't know how long I'll need it. Probably for a few weeks. I'm starting a new business in town, and I've got to get that going before I look for some place to rent.
Not a problem, Jenna said. We can make room for you. We have nothing but room.
Good, said Voice. Thanks for calling.
Thanks for choosing the Driftwood Inn, Jenna said, and ended the call. At least they'd have one paying customer. Maybe they could pay the electric bill. She decided to go to the local consignment store and see if she could pick up some cute bargain bedding for their guest's bed. At least the bed would look good. She sure hoped he'd meant what he said when he told her he wasn't particular about his lodging. She sorted through more papers, looked at a pile of bills, and decided it was time to meet with Aunt Edie's accountant. She wasn't sure what he'd be able to tell her that she hadn't already figured out, but she called for an appointment anyway. Whitley Gruber could fit her in at 11. Should she be happy or terrified? She set aside the pile of papers and went back into the house in search of more coffee. Sabrina had come down now, and Aunt Edie was plying her with hot chocolate and blackberry coffee cake. Pete was present, too, enjoying a generous slice of the treat.
"Are you ready for some of this now, dear?" Aunt Edie asked Jenna.
"No, but I'll take more coffee if there's some left," Jenna said, moving to the vintage coffee maker. "I have a few more things I want to do in the office before I go see the accountant."
"You're going to see Whit?"
Now Aunt Edie looked as if Jenna had changed her mind about running over her foot and was upgrading to vehicular homicide.
"It will give me a clearer picture of where we stand."
The picture was already ugly, but what the heck? Aunt Edie scowled.
"I hate talking with Whit. He's always nothing but doom and gloom."
"Yeah, but he saved you money on taxes last year," Pete said to her. "When you run a business, you gotta have an accountant, Edie, old girl."
Pete, the fount of all wisdom. "So, Pete, what does Aunt Edie have on the agenda for you today?" Jenna asked. He scratched the back of his head.
"Well?"
"How about fixing that broken sign out front?" Jenna suggested.
"Oh, yes. Pete's been meaning to get to that," Aunt Edie said in the old loafer's defense. "Haven't you, Pete?"
"I have," he said.
"And then maybe you can fix the broken front porch step," Jenna added. Pete glared at her.
"What are you trying to do, kill me?"
They should be so lucky.
"I think you can handle doing two things in an 8-hour period," Jenna said. "More coffee cake, Pete?" Aunt Edie put in quickly.
Jenna shook her head and laughed. They'd be lucky if the sign even got fixed. The office of Gruber Accounting was located in a small building pretentiously called the Moonlight Harbor Business Complex on Sand Dune Drive. It shared the building with other businesses such as Williams & Weaver, attorneys at law, Drew Anderson, architect, and Beach Dreams Realty. The landscaping was typical of the beach, pampas grass, river rock, shells. Whitley Gruber was as plain as his office, a man somewhere in his 60s with a high-tied hairline, glasses, a rail-thin body, and an even thinner mouth that drooped at the corners, wearing black slacks and a white shirt complete with pocket protector. He managed a smile for Jenna and shook hands with her, welcoming her to Moonlight Harbor.
"I'm glad your aunt's finally got some help," he said as they settled at his desk.
"I'm not sure how much help I can be," Jenna said. "It looks like we've got a cash flow problem."
"You do. That's nothing new. I'm afraid Edie's had trouble managing since Ralph died."
He shook his head.
"I've advised her more than once to sell the place before it comes down around her ears. The land's valuable, and if she sold it and invested the money, she could live quite comfortably for the rest of her life."
She doesn't want to sell, Jenna said. Whit removed his glasses and cleaned them with a handkerchief.
I know she doesn't. Maybe you can talk some sense into her.
This wasn't how Jenna had wanted their meeting to go, although really, what had she come in expecting to hear?
The good news is, right now she's got a tax write-off, he said.
You can't live on a tax write-off.
Talk to her. The Driftwood Inn has seen its day. She should move on.
Seen its day? How sad. It seemed that eventually everything unraveled. But if they pulled the plug on the Driftwood Inn, it would be the same as pulling the plug on Aunt Edie. The old place had potential. Surely there were still memories to be made there. Jenna sighed, thanked Whit for his time, and left, discouraged, but determined. Not watching where she was going, she found herself colliding with a tall man with a broad chest tucked inside an expensive shirt. The slacks and shoes didn't look cheap either. Hair bleached blonde from the sun, tanned, firm skin, baby blue eyes with only a few crinkles at the edges, probably somewhere in his 40s. He smelled like expensive aftershave and success. Sorry, she said.
My bad. I wasn't watching where I was going.
I wasn't either. He nodded at Whitley Gruber's door.
Meeting with your accountant can do that to you. Are you new in town?
I am, Jenna said, and introduced herself.
Ah, the amazing niece has arrived, the man said with a smile. I'm Brody Green. I own Beach Dreams Realty. We make your dreams a reality, he added with a grin.
If only he could do that for her and Aunt Edie. Nice slogan, she said.
Thought it up myself. It came to me in a dream.
Really?
He chuckled. No, but it sounds good. So, how long have you been in town?
Just got here on Saturday.
Ah, he said with a nod. Then you probably haven't had a chance to enjoy any of our fabulous restaurants. How about lunch?
Newly divorced and going out to lunch with a good-looking man. Was this wise? Probably not. I've got a lot to do, she hedged.
Me too. But hey, we've got to eat, right? How about it?
She threw caution to the beach breeze. All right, why not?
Good. How about the porthole?
Sounds great. I haven't been there in years.
Come on, he said. We can take my car.
She'd as soon follow him in case she wanted to make a fast escape, but he was already walking out the door, so what the heck? Once she saw him opening the door on a late-model red Mustang convertible, she decided she'd made the right decision. A good-looking man who had a great car and probably plenty of money to fill it with gas, as well as money for incidentals like lunches out. Ha! Take that, Damien.
Edie tells me you spent a lot of time down here as a kid, Brody said as they roared off down the street.
I did.
My family came down here a lot, too. Funny we never ran into each other.
Who'd remember someone you saw on the beach as a kid? Jenna said. He shot her a grin.
As pretty as you are now, you had to have been cute. I'd have remembered.
Oh, yes. Flattery will get you everywhere. Is this how you sell houses, by flattering your clients? Jenna teased.
No, I sell houses by showing people great places to live. It's not hard. Who doesn't want to live at the beach?
For sure. I always loved it here. It's good to be back. And it felt good to be zipping down the road in a nice car with the wind whipping her hair and the sun on her face. Ah, this was the life. Jenna and Sabrina had passed the porthole coming in. Its location between the Best Western and the Quality Inn made it popular with visitors to town, and the food made it popular with locals. In addition to good food, it offered a view of the dunes and the water beyond from the second story, which was where the fine dining area was situated. They passed the cafe and bar down below and went up the rough-hewn wooden steps to the main restaurant. Brody obviously knew the skinny woman with jet black hair and red lipstick standing at the hostess podium. Brody, she purred, I didn't know you were coming in today. This was accompanied by a not quite so welcoming once-over of Jenna.
I wanted our newest citizen to see our best restaurant, said Brody the schmoozer. Can you squeeze us in by a window, Laurel?
The restaurant was nearly full, but Laurel managed to get them a table in a far corner where they could watch the surf roll in.
This is Jenna Jones, by the way, Brody said. Edie's niece.
I heard you were coming, Laurel said to Jenna. Good thing. Old Edie could use some help over there.
That was putting it mildly.
So, what are your plans for the old place? Brody asked after their waitress had taken their orders for shrimp sandwiches and tossed salad.
We're going to try to get it up and running again.
Good luck with that, said Brody.
Their waitress returned with iced tea, and he dumped a bunch of sugar in his and gave it a thoughtful stir.
You know, even though the motel's got issues, that property's really valuable. If Edie sold it, she'd make a nice bundle.
This was the second person in an hour who'd told her that. The accountant had no hidden agenda. Jenna had to wonder about Brody. If he handled the sale, he'd make a fat commission.
Have you talked with my aunt about this?
Oh, yeah. She's attached to the place, which is understandable. But sometimes you have to let go of things.
Like bad marriages. But unlike a bad marriage, the Driftwood Inn could be saved.
Sometimes you have to fight for things, too.
He smiled. A woman with drive. I like that.
A woman who's not looking to get involved with anyone, Jenna warned him.
And why is that? I thought your aunt said you're divorced.
Just barely, not in a hurry to jump into anything new. Brody nodded.
I get that. I'm divorced myself.
He picked up his iced tea and shook his head.
18 years down the tube.
Have you got children?
A boy and a girl, both in high school. College right around the corner.
And wouldn't it be nice if he could convince Aunt Edie to sell the Driftwood Inn? That commission would help with the college tuition.
You're being cynical, Jenna scolded herself. Still, she couldn't resist saying, I guess you'll have to sell a lot of beach homes.
He shrugged. Not that many. My boy's looking good for a football scholarship, and my daughter's a killer on the basketball court. I think she'll probably get some kind of scholarship money, too.
He leaned back in his chair.
So, no pressure beyond the usual paying whatever the ex can suck out of me.
His cheeks suddenly flushed.
Oh, sorry.
Don't be. My ex is sucking me dry.
He cocked an eyebrow.
Wait a minute. Didn't your aunt say you've got a kid?
I do, and an ex who's an artist. I was the main earner, so I'm the one paying spousal support until he can get on his feet. He can't even support himself right now, let alone our child.
But who's bitter?
She ripped open a sugar packet and dumped its contents into her tea.
Well, equal rights, I guess, Brody said dubiously.
He shouldn't have any rights. He's a bum and a rat and doesn't deserve anything, Jenna snapped.
Way to make a good impression.
Sorry, she muttered. I'm still adjusting.
I get it, Brody said. I put my ex's picture on a dartboard and used it every day for the first 6 months after we split.
That made her smile. Is it still there?
Nah, I moved on. You'll get there, he added.
The sooner the better.
Their sandwiches arrived, and they left behind the unpleasant topic of exes, focusing instead on the future, mainly Jenna's.
You really should try to talk your aunt into selling the place, Brody said, making Jenna suspicious of his friendliness all over again, until he added, But if you're determined to make a go of it, I can recommend a roofer. It needs a new roof, he added,
just in case she hadn't noticed the missing shingles, water stains, and musty carpets in the rooms.
I figured as much, she said. I wonder what that will cost.
Well, fortunately for you, the motel's not that big. Maybe you could get by for 40 or 50 K.
$50,000, Jenna repeated weakly.
So much for Aunt Edie's 3,000 and her 800. That was just the roof. It didn't count new paint and carpet and all the other needed improvements.
Quicksand. They were in quicksand.
Was there a way she could make blue tarp attractive?
Jenna suddenly wasn't hungry.
Eat up, Brody encouraged her. You're going to need your strength.
I need more than strength, she said. Maybe I should try and find an investor.
She looked at him hopefully. Maybe Brody Green would like to invest in a motel. He didn't take the bait. He was too busy digging into his sandwich.
You don't have to do everything all at once, he said around a mouthful of shrimp. Take it in stages. Get one of those pardon our dust signs. People will understand.
He motioned to her untouched sandwich.
Try it. It's really good.
She did. It was. She ate the whole thing while Brody filled her in on the nightlife in Moonlight Harbor. In short, there wasn't much of one.
The Drunken Sailor is still the favorite hangout at night, he said. They've got line dancing there on Sunday nights. Austin Banks, who owns the kite shop, teaches it. She's from Texas. If you couldn't tell by the name, you sure could by the accent. Her husband Roy does the music for it.
That sounds fun, Jenna said. She'd always thought she'd like to take up line dancing. Maybe she would. She could do anything she wanted now. As long as it didn't cost money.
I'll take you sometime if you like, he offered. Introduce you around.
Thanks, that's sweet of you.
Hey, we like to make the newcomers feel welcome. This is a friendly town.
Yes, it is, Jenna agreed. So, what else is there to do?
We've got a movieplex with 4 whole theaters. The community club sponsors bingo once a month. And we've got a bowling alley, which is great if you like playing on lanes that never get oiled. There's a group of old guys who play tennis over on the courts 3 times a week.
Brody shook his head.
I played with them once, thought they'd be easy pickings. They kicked my butt.
I'm not very sporty, Jenna confessed.
Well, if you like to read, the library sponsors a book club, and a bunch of the women hang out at your aunt's place every Friday night. You'll meet a lot of our movers and shakers there. You know, your aunt's been a fixture here for as long as I can remember. Everybody loves her.
Was there somebody who loved her enough to float her alone? Probably not. All those movers and shakers had their own businesses to keep afloat. Business at the beach was seasonal, and Jenna suspected that some people barely hung on from season to season. Could she and Aunt Edie hang on? Once again, her appetite evaporated. She passed on the offer of dessert, so Brody called for the check, and they zipped back to the Moonlight Harbor business complex. The wind was still playing with Jenna's hair, and the sun was still warm on her face, but reality had doused her earlier feeling of euphoria.
Don't get discouraged, Brody said, reading her worried mind. Things always work out somehow.
Yes, they did, and if worse came to worst, good old Brody would be right there to help her sell the Driftwood Inn. Sigh. She returned home to find Aunt Edie on the living room couch, crocheting, Jolly Roger perched on the back, looking over her shoulder.
No solicitors, he greeted her.
Aunt Edie looked up with a worried smile.
You were with Wit a long time.
Actually, I wasn't with him the whole time, Jenna said, plopping onto her favorite seashell chair. I met Brody Green and he took me out to lunch. The smile got sunnier.
Brody is a sweetie. He's single, you know,
Aunt Edie added oh so casually.
Yes, so he said. Nice man. Oodles of money.
Aunt Edie, Jenna chided, you're not suggesting I go after a man for his money.
Oh no, of course not. But money is always a nice bonus. It greases the wheels.
And heaven knew their wheels could use some greasing. Still, I'm not in the market for a man. I just got rid of one.
Well, he was a poor excuse for a man, Aunt Edie said. Sometimes the first try doesn't work out, but you can strike gold on the second. I certainly did with Ralph.
Yes, you did, Jenna agreed. I don't think I ever want to try again, though.
You're much too young to be saying things like that.
I don't feel young. In fact, she was sure she'd aged 10 years in the last hour.
You need to get out and have some fun, and Brody's just the man to do it with.
do it. It would be nice to have sex again sometime in her lifetime, but celibacy was safer, in so many ways. First things first, maybe I'll have time for a man after we get this place whipped into shape. Maybe, or not.
I wouldn't wait that long, cautioned Aunt Edie. Life's too short.
Life's too short, Roger agreed.
He and Aunt Edie must have had many a philosophical discussion.
Where's Sabrina? Jenna asked, changing the subject. She's cleaning the upstairs bathroom. Isn't that sweet of her? I didn't even ask her. She did it all by herself.
Yes, all by herself, with a little nudge from Mom, but at least she was doing it.
Doing it.
Do it.
Sex. Stop it, Jenna. Focus.
Focusing on everything they had to do was enough to give her a headache. She took two ibuprofens and then spent the afternoon beachcombing with Sabrina. They didn't get enough wind to fly the kite, but they did find an agate, which helped Sabrina temporarily forget her hatred for her mean mom who had ruined her life. Time on the beach with her daughter was good medicine, and by the time they returned, Jenna was feeling much better. Until she saw that Pete still hadn't fixed the sign or the broken step. They were no closer to getting the driftwood in shape, and that dangling sign mocked her. With a growl, she went in search of Uncle Ralph's old toolbox. If you wanted anything done, you had to do it yourself. Half an hour later, the sign was properly hung and swinging in the breeze. There. Now they were one step closer to having the old place up and running.
Ha 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 ha.
Chapter 7. To do. Price paint and carpet. Check out bedding suppliers. Clean bathroom in reserved unit. Pray for money to fall from heaven. After breakfast, Jenna found someone to take care of the boarded up window, then left Sabrina busy texting with Marigold about how bored she was, and drove to Beach Lumber and Hardware to price paint. She figured her top priority was probably to get the roof checked, but the potential cost of that was overwhelming. So she decided to start with something she knew they could handle. The place was busy. An old geezer in a baseball cap with Beach Lumber printed on it was ringing up a sale. A middle-aged couple was waiting to buy a clam gun, and several men were wandering through the store holding plastic pipe or bags of nails. One woman wheeled past Jenna with a cart filled with lavender starts.
"It's one of the few things the deer don't eat," she explained.
Jenna spotted Tyrella Lamb, who was advising a woman on hinges. She gave Jenna a cheerful nod and promised to be with her in a minute, and Jenna nodded back and went to the paint section. So many shades of blue. How could she choose? A moment later, Tyrella was standing by her side.
"Paint for the inn?"
"Yes, I need something to match the blue tarp we're probably going to have to put on the roof." Tyrella smiled at that. She picked up a sample card.
"This one's very popular down here."
It was a pretty shade, not too pale but not too dark either. "Summer sky," Jenna read. "I like that."
"I think your motel would look great that color," said Tyrella. "And white for the trim."
She handed Jenna another sample card. This one was labeled Summer Cloud. Blue with white trim. Perfect. She could already envision the driftwood looking fresh and pretty and ready for business.
"I love it. How much do I need?"
"Well, let's see."
Tyrella pulled a small tablet and pencil from her carpenter's apron and began to scribble.
"Your place is about 200 feet long."
200 feet. That's not bad.
"Don't forget, you've got a front and a back and two sides. Your building is about 10 feet high, give or take. That's probably around 4,400 square feet. So I'd say you'll need 15 gallons. Oh, and then there's paint for the window and door trim and your doors. And of course you'll need paint for your rooms. You'll want to figure 2 gallons for each room. You'll probably want 40 gallons to be safe."
"That much more paint for the rooms?"
"Four walls, ceilings."
"Expense." And if you paint the bathrooms...
Oh, boy,
Jenna said faintly. She looked at the escalating price and gulped. There went more than a third of Aunt Edie's stash, just on paint. But it had to be done.
I'll give you a 10% welcome to Moonlight Harbor discount, Tyrella said.
Thank you. It would help.
Will that be okay with your husband?
Leroy? I doubt he cares. He passed on 4 years ago.
Oh, I didn't realize. When you mentioned him...
I should have said that he's in heaven now, Tyrella said. But it always sounds so stuffy an old lady to say, my late husband, and just calling him my dead husband sounds creepy. Anyway, my late, dead, gone husband was a generous man, and he'd approve of me helping another member of the community. You've got a lot on your plate, so if I can help make your life a little easier, I'm glad to do it. Everyone's excited that you've come to help Edie. We all love her.
I'm excited to be here, Jenna said. And she was, except for when she was worrying about her daughter or wondering where the money was going to come from to fix the place.
What are you doing for lunch today?
Who had time to eat?
Tuna fish sandwich, probably.
How about a salmon cob? My treat.
That's awfully nice of you, but... Oh, not really. I want you to come to the Chamber of Commerce meeting with me. Lunch at noon at Sandy's. The schmoozing starts at 11:30.
Chamber of Commerce? Jenna repeated. Isn't that for business owners?
You're managing your aunt's motel, aren't you? And trust me, it's no secret that Edie's leaving it to you. You qualify as a local business owner. And it never hurts to network.
I was going to go to Quinault and price carpet this morning.
Go to Ben Samuels over at the Carpet Guys. He'll give you a square deal. There, Tyrella added with a grin. Now you won't have to run all over the place looking. I just saved you a good hour.
Well, when you put it that way, Jenna said, smiling at her. She looked down at her jeans and t-shirt. Guess I should go home and put on something more professional looking.
Business casual is fine.
So Jenna went home, donned a sundress, sweater, and sandals, and then drove down Harbor Boulevard to Sandy's, a restaurant that offered casual dining. What they lacked in a view, they made up for in decor. The small space outside the restaurant had been turned into a tiny beach, complete with sand and shells, a small lime-green lifeguard chair planted in it. Inside, a net was hung on one wall, holding a starfish in a turquoise glass float. The smell of cooking fish told her what was popular on the menu. She heard the chatter of voices all the way down the hall, and she arrived at the meeting room to find it packed with men and women of all ages. She caught sight of Patricia Whiteside, who owned the Oyster Inn, and the woman from the kite shop. The kite lady's hair was long and perfectly styled, and she wore a sleeveless top with fringe along the neckline over skinny jeans. Her earrings were glittery little lavender cowgirl hats. That had to be Austin Banks, who Brody had told her about. And there was Brody himself, busy talking to Whit Gruber. She quickly spotted Tyrella, who had ditched the carpenter's apron and was wearing a coral top over her slacks. She was chatting with two middle-aged men. Jenna suspected that if Tyrella wanted to replace Leroy, she'd have no trouble. She saw Jenna, waved, and hurried over.
"I'm glad you made it. You're going to love this bunch. They know how to keep it real."
Brody turned and saw Jenna and made a beeline for her.
"Here comes Brody Green. He's the broker at Beach Dreams Realty," Tyrella said. "Don't be surprised if he hits on you."
"He already has."
Tyrella shook her head and chuckled. "Leave it to Brody to zero in on the new single woman in town."
"Pretty single woman," Brody corrected, coming up in time to hear her.
"Don't you go breaking this sweet young thing's heart," Tyrella scolded him.
Brody put a hand to his chest.
"Tyrella, you wound me deeply."
Tyrella rolled her eyes. "Since you've already met Jenna, you just move on out of the way and let me introduce her to everyone else."
"Only if you promise to let me sit with you two," he said, and smiled at Jenna.
The man had quite a smile.
"Come on, before this boy sucks you in like an undertow," Tyrella said, taking Jenna's arm and leading her away.
She first introduced Jenna to one of the men she'd been talking to earlier. His name was Ellis West, and he looked to be somewhere in his 50s and was a husky man with a jaw the size of a boulder. Jenna caught a whiff of cigar.
"You need to know this man," Tyrella told her. "He owns the seafood shack."
"My daughter and I were just in your place Sunday," Jenna told him.
"I thought I recognized you. Welcome to Moonlight Harbor," he said, and held out a large paw.
Jenna made the mistake of putting her hand in it. Ellis West had a crushing handshake.
"Glad you're here. Now Edie will have help and the old driftwood will get spruced up like it ought to be."
And that would mean more business for him.
"Let me know if you need help with anything."
Money help? Would Ellis West be willing to make her a personal loan?
"I swing a mean paintbrush," he said.
So maybe not money, but a kind offer all the same.
"Thanks, I appreciate that."
Next, Tyrella introduced Jenna to Sherwood Stern, president of Harbor First National Bank. He gave Jenna a quick smile, an even quicker welcome, and then excused himself to go talk to someone else. That didn't bode well for hitting up good old Sherwood for more money. Cindy Redman was next on Tyrella's list of people to introduce Jenna to. She was thin in the hips and legs, but full in the bust, and she had a round, pink face and red hair. Looking at her, Jenna couldn't help but think of a Tootsie Roll Pop. She owned Cindy's Candies along with her husband, Bruce, who was minding the shop.
"We take turns coming to the meetings. Can't leave the candy unguarded," she joked.
There were so many people to meet. Jenna managed to shake hands with about half of them, including Austin Banks, who invited her to come join her gang of line dancers on Sunday nights.
"Good fun," she drawled. "Get out there and shake your booty to the only music worth listening to. It's a great way to shed your troubles."
Did she know Jenna had troubles? She had eyes. She'd seen the driftwood in. Whit Gruber said hello to her, and Alex and Natalie Bell, who owned Beachside Burgers and Doggies Hot Dogs, invited her to stop by and have a hot dog on the house. Rita Rutledge, close to Jenna's age and thin enough to blow away in a strong wind, owned Beans and Books, the combination coffee shop and bookstore, and offered to give her a free latte.
"Everyone's so generous," she said to Tyrella.
"Good people here," Tyrella said.
It sure looked that way. The pre-luncheon chit-chat ended promptly at noon when Brody, who was the president of the chamber, herded everyone to their seats, making sure he got one next to Jenna.
"What do you think so far of our business community?" he asked her.
"They all seem really nice."
"That's because they are. And they believe in this town, want to really put it on the map. You know, way back in the 60s, when developers first started building down here, they thought it was going to turn out like Vegas or some California beach town." "They didn't reckon with the weather," Tyrella put in. "Don't get me wrong, in July when the sun is out, it's heaven. And in August, a lot of people come down here from the city to cool off. Fall can be nice, too, but winter is rainy and windy and sometimes stays that way clear into June. Not exactly what people want when they come to the beach."
"Still, we're working at making the place more attractive to year-round visitors," Brody put in. "We've got the Razor Clam Festival in March, and people come down in droves to dig clams. A lot of people come down for Labor Day weekend, too. Then we've got the Sand and Surf Festival end of June, and people always come here for the 4th. The best fireworks show in all of Washington takes place right here on our beach. And thanks to all the people who bring their fireworks, the city doesn't have to pay for it. Well, other than overtime for our firemen. We can't have the dune grasses catching fire."
"Those are summer draws," Tyrella reminded him. "We need to find a way to bring people here year-round."
"You don't have a convention center here, do you?" Jenna said thoughtfully. "With something like that, you could put on events all year long."
Brody rubbed his fingers together. "Money."
"Well, if you had plans for one and presented it to voters..."
"They'd vote it down," he said. "We've got a lot of retirees down here living on limited incomes."
"Yes, but you also have a lot of business owners and working families. Something like that would really help the local economy."
"Or break the city," Brody said.
Their servers had arrived by then with salads and fish and chips, and that ended all talk of a possible convention center. Probably a dumb idea anyway, Jenna thought. What did she